here's a story from The World.
This week at the spring session of the International Monetary Fund, member countries got good and bad news about the economic recovery from COVID-19, and they agreed on the next steps the IMF will take that may shape the global economy for the next several years. The World's Roopa Shenoy reports.
The IMF is calling it a two-speed recovery. Rich countries are going fast. They had the money to pass big stimulus packages and are already seeing a payoff in economic growth. Things are very different in poor countries. Many of them were already mired in debt when the pandemic happened. In the last year, 86 countries have taken out an additional $110 billion in loans from the IMF.
It's a complicated balance between getting governments money quickly and making sure that that money is actually going to benefit the people who need it.
Sarah Sadoun of Human Rights Watch thinks some of the loan money was lost to corruption. They did a study that shows some governments failed to follow transparency requirements built into the loans. Sadoun says they didn't fully disclose how they've been spending the COVID loan money, so civil society groups couldn't hold governments accountable.
The IMF's approach, given all of the limitations of emergency lending, was fine. The problem has just been that they're checking the box of these measures being implemented without the public actually meaningfully being able to track the spending.
Spending that the public could be paying back for generations, maybe with austerity measures or higher taxes. Kevin Gallagher is director of Boston University's Global Development Policy Center. He says he's losing sleep over the looming debt crisis in the developing world.
Some countries are actually already paying somewhere between 30% and 70% of all government revenue to service external debts, to pay back bondholders in New York, to pay back development banks and so forth.
He says the rich countries' success, in a way, could make things worse for poor countries. Take the U.S. The IMF expects its economy to grow by 6.4% this year, more than it has in decades. Gallagher says there's a possibility that will mean inflation, which may in turn mean the U.S. raises interest rates. And if interest rates go up, he says, that essentially increases developing countries' debt.
So they have to come up with that many more rupees or that many more rial or that many more pesos or that many more rands to be able to pay those dollar debts.
The IMF thinks these two halves of the world moving at different speeds need to come together. For a while, it's wanted to use one of its most powerful tools to give poor countries desperately needed cash, something called special drawing rights. They're kind of like a line of credit for IMF member countries that most of the time doesn't need to be paid back. The Trump administration opposed expanding special drawing rights, but this week the U.S. and other countries agreed to increasing them by $650 billion. In an interview, Jayla Pazar-Basholo, IMF Director of Strategy, Policy and Review, says it's the largest increase in special drawing rights in the nearly 80-year history of the IMF.
It shows that the membership came together for the needs of all.
Pazar-Basholo says the move will help minimize the divergence between countries. The IMF is also recommending countries raise taxes on the wealthy or close tax loopholes in order to bring the rich and poor within countries more into alignment.
We have always talked about progressive taxation, and this is more important now. Why? Because we are talking about inequality, which is worsening, and we are also talking about divergence and potential long-term impact from this crisis.
As for addressing possible corruption, Pazar-Basholo says the IMF will soon launch an online matrix showing the progress each country receiving a loan has made toward its transparency commitments. She says that will help civil society groups ensure accountability. For The World, I'm Roopa Shenoy.
From PRX.